Please listen to this. If you are not aware of this, what Jesus gave us, you will be feeling as if you are left alone. You are not going to see much goodness of God. But I want to plead with you tonight that what Jesus left us is sufficient for us. Of course, we are going to face tribulation. I'm not saying that won't happen. But there are three things he left for us. He left us his name, he left us his words, and he left us his spirit. I take it again. He left us his commandment or his word. He left us his name, and he left us what? His spirit. Can you get back in there? Thank you. Now, let's look at verse 13. It says, and whatever you ask in my name, what will I do? That I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Everybody, can you look up a minute? It says, Jesus was telling us that whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Now, Jesus is not joking here. No, you see, whatever you ask in my name, that means, Father, I'm asking you for a cup of water, which you can do yourself. That's not true. I mean, pick up a cup of water. I want to go somewhere. But just talking about serious issues of life, that when you get to a particular point or issues in life that you don't know what to do, just by calling upon my name, I'll show up for you. Let me give you a typical example of that. It was Goliath. Goliath came up in the camp and was making noise. And nobody was able to challenge him because everybody's looking at themselves and they are watching themselves that this man is bigger than all of us. But then here came David, and David started boasting that he would do something about Goliath. And you wonder why he was doing that, not because he was a kid, but something happened. He said, Goliath, you come against me, listen to this, you come against me with all these weapons, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. So David was taking the name of Jehovah God to confront Goliath. Now, nobody in his right sense will send Goliath, will send David, young child, to go and face Goliath. That's called terrible child abuse. That's what they are accusing Hamas doing now. They will see themselves with children, women, and they will hide from there and start shooting from there. And so when the bomb lands there, who will it affect? The children and the women, and say they are killing the children. Now, I'm getting involved in politics, but not too much. Recently, we just heard that Israel went to Lebanon and bombed a particular place. And you feel terrible that, how could they have bombed this thick neighborhood? But in that thick neighborhood, some commanders were planning how to attack them underneath ground. So when they now throw it at them, you know, everybody start making noise. By the way, leave that one aside. But what I'm saying in essence is this. You have to look for advantage in life. So Jesus said, I'm going to give you an advantage. I'm going to give you my name. So that when serious things come up in life, you can face it with it. Let's look at chapter 3, Colossians, verse 17. 3 Colossians, verse 17. This is what we have not been using quite well. And whatever you do, look at this. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Why is Paul telling us this? That you can never really tell how life will turn out. You can never know the event that will happen to us. I mean, when we were voting for Tinubu last year, we were not expecting that fuel will be 1,000+ at this moment. Are you hearing me? They told us that Dangote is coming to give us refinery and petrol will become yafun yafun. Now, we're in this kind of time. So you can never know how the world will turn out because the world cannot give us peace. Let's go and read that. John 14, verse 27. We're coming back here. John 14, verse 27. I hope I'm correct. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let's be afraid. I want you to listen to this. By the way, I'm also living here in this world. I don't go to heaven Sunday night, come back Tuesday, go back. I live here. And, you know, I was thinking that if you buy 50,000 10,000 naira fuel now. That was just 10,000 naira fuel last year. So did you hear what I just said? I mean, it's times five now. Plus. So when you say 50,000 naira, please put in there. That's not 10,000 naira last year. And you start thinking, where is this leading to? But what that does to us is to destabilize us. What that does is to start really wondering what's going on. I hope you can still hear me. So, what I'm saying in essence now is that we need to be stable and be stabilized. Jesus said, my stability, I live with you. My stability, I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled. And don't be afraid. To do that, he's given us his name, his word, and his Holy Spirit. Do we get that? Can you still hear me? All right. So, I must take this step to use that name to secure my peace. Let's go and see how to use that name to secure my peace. Colossians 3, verse 17, that we read before. And whatever you do in the word or deed, do all in whose name? Huh? In whose name? In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. Now, can I ask you a question? Are you doing anything now? Do you have anything you are doing right now? Can you close your eyes and say, I'm doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus? Is it traveling? Is it a project? Is it looking for something? Is he looking to go to school, to start work, to do something? Say, I'm going after this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is this something else to do with your life, with your loved one? Say, whatever you do, do all in the name. Say, I'm going to do this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, can we lift our hands and thank him? I'm going after this in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I want to thank you that you are with me and you are making things work out the way you want it to work out for me. That at the end, you are working for my good. I want to appreciate you that your name is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. Praise God. Now, you can put your hands down. Let's go to chapter 18, Proverbs. Let's talk about the name. I'm just going back to revise what we have done. Chapter 18, Proverbs, verse 10. I hope I'm correct. Take a look. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Jesus gave us his name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous did what? Run to it. And they are what? You see, my peace I give you. So how do we have that peace? We come in the name of Jesus. We ask in the name of Jesus. He said, whatever you do or what you do it all in the name of the Lord. Everybody here, Christ Jesus has given us a gift. He's given us his name. Pastor, how come he's given us his name? You see, the Father gave him a name. It's above every name. Let's talk about that for a few minutes. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is not with him. It's with us. That sounds strange. For instance, here is Mrs. Irinle. Dr. Irinle is her husband. When she got married, she got his name. And she goes around Mrs. Irinle. What's your former name now? So you know, I remember where you are, that young lady. Hallelujah. See, that time. But then when she got married, she took the name on herself. So she has that name now. Same way we are the bride of Jesus and has given us his name. How did he get the name? Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We're just going to look around the name. That's our safety. righteous run to it and they are safe. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to read how Jesus got the name. Are we ready? Let's look at it. Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind. What's the mind? Let's go on. Who, Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God. What is he saying there? Jesus was in heaven. Can you go back? Jesus was in heaven. He was the Word. He was the Son of God. Has the same nature as the Father. But because of our salvation, to redeem us and rescue us, he didn't cling to that being God. Can you give us NLT for this verse? Maybe to make it clearer. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. I'm not coming. But what did he do? Look at this verse. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. That's Jesus, the God. God the Son. And he was born as a human being. That's what we do in Christmas. Am I right? Christmas time. And when he appeared in human form, look at this verse. He humbled himself again in obedience to God. And he was obeying God and died a criminal's death. Because crucifixion is for criminals. He died that death all with the mind of us. We were on his mind. Let's keep reading. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Somebody said, what does that mean? It's the same Jesus name. I use this example. Remember, Good Luck Jonathan. You can see his name changing in Nigeria. First of all, he was vice chairman local government or chairman local government in Bayelsa. And then they snatched him to become deputy governor to Alamesia. I'm afraid of Alamesia. And you know, so his name changed. Deputy governor. And Obasanjo was looking for who to become vice president to Umaru. Remember Umaru? So he was just lucky. And then he was picked again to become vice president. And he stood over there. You can see his name changing. It's the same Jonathan, but his name has changed from chairman local government to what? Vice president. And then he campaigned after his boss died. And we pitied him. Really pitied him because he went to school without shoes. You remember those stories? And that, all of us really pity him that he didn't have shoes, so we gave him shoe of the president. And he became president. And the shoe didn't fit him, so we kicked him out. You can see that progression. It's the same person, but he was acquiring greater name. Now Jesus is still Jesus, but God gave him the highest name, not as God. Remember, he was God, he became a human being. And he went down, humble, died criminal. So God's like lifting him up to the highest place in the universe as a man. Let's keep on reading. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So God gave him this name that at the name, when you mention the name of Jesus, every knee. Now, wait. Jesus himself won't use his name. He's already exalted. He won't use... Jesus won't say, in the name of Jesus. It's Jesus. So that name, he gave it to us. Does that make some sense? Let's look at Acts chapter 4, verse 12. That will explain that a little bit. Can I make you laugh? This is really now. I wish I was not the pastor. I wish I'm in my house watching online. So, all of you are too watching online. Thank you. Chapter 4, verse 12. Now, there is salvation in no one else. Take a look. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. So, Jesus was given the name in heaven, right? So Jesus came here under heaven and gave us the name. So that when we face anything, we can take that name to face it. Does that make some sense? All right. Let's go to Psalm 91. I want you to mark this verse if you come with your Bible. Or if you are online, if you are using your phone, you can color it, highlight it. Psalm 91. Are we there? Verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. That's God speaking. I will set him on high because what? So, if we really allow ourselves to know that name and embrace that name, God said he will set us high. It's just like when you come in somebody's name. Let's take this example. Goliath was in the valley making noise. David came against him in the name of the Lord. So God set David above Goliath. Do you see that? Not because David was bigger, stronger, but because when he came in his name, the Father gave the authority that is a name to David to face life. Somebody said, that's Goliath. I'm facing life. In the same way, we are facing life circumstances. Some of us, we wonder how things will turn out. And we wonder how we are going to conquer things. But when we come in the name of Jesus, this business is not going to. In the name of Jesus, we'll sort out this matter. In the name of Jesus, I will not be stranded. When I'm saying that, it's not a magic word. It's simply that because I know his name, he will set me on high. Does that make some sense? I cannot hold on to his name and go down. So, number one, as you live in this world of issues and problems, you have that name. And the name is the all of God available to us. Back to John 14 again. John 14. John 14. Verse 13. If you ask, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. Can I say this to you? Everybody listen here now. Jesus is giving us this promise, not one pastor. So whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it for you. Now, don't get me wrong. Somebody said, what about if I ask something that is not correct? Will he do that? Of course, he will do it by telling you that that's not correct. Are you hearing what I just said? Okay, let's go and see it. I'll show you right now. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. Come and see. What about if I ask what is not correct? Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians. That's a very valid question. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are we there? Let's go to verse 7. I want you to follow this story. Very powerful. I'm seeing this for the first time myself. So let me enjoy this along with you. Lest as you be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, lest as you be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. See, Paul had so much revelations of God. Abundance above measure. So you feel puffed up, right? You feel, man, if you someone give you $1 million now, there's no way it won't show one way or the other that you have the money. If it's 10 billion, 10 what? 10 billion. Ah, you have to use your head to work home. You have some money. That's, Paul has, Paul wrote half of the New Testament. Wow. And he didn't walk out with Jesus. It was not with the apostles. In fact, Peter wrote that what Paul wrote was difficult to understand. That's enough to make you heady. Now, listen. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So there was a permission for this satanic messenger to put him, and you can see that everywhere Paul went, there was a struggle. They would beat him up, they would flog him, he will get shipwreck, he will be delayed in prison. Let's go on. So, concerning this thing, see that? I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he might depart from me. So Paul was not saying, all right, let's just go through it. Are you still here with me? So here was Apostle Paul here. He said, concerning, he didn't keep his mouth shut. He didn't just say, sira, ke sira, sira. I think he's doing like this. Lord, get it off me. I will not be exalted. I will keep myself calm. I will not, Lord, I don't want this. Now, look at Jesus' answer. Next verse. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Somebody said, Jesus didn't answer. He answered. Are you listening? You see, he said, whatever you ask in my name, I do it for you. So, Paul said, Lord, let this thing depart from me. Jesus was saying, you have grace to force it out. And when you are feeling so weak like that, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Am I making some sense here? It's like, let me give you a very good example for this. It's like your dad left you raid that can kill mosquitoes in your house. The raid can kill any mosquito. And then he traveled. And then you see mosquito coming to the house so much. Dad, please do something. What can we do about these mosquitoes? He will say, but I left you that super raid. Just use that super raid. Daddy, they are very big. The daddy will say, the bigger they are, the more the super raid will deal with them. So, the Lord was telling him this. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That means, even when you are weak, my strength... So, see the answer now. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, he got some answers. So, I will say this to you. Don't say, please, don't say. Don't say, I can't ask God for this thing. Ask him. The best he can tell you is that you're not asking well. This is what you should be asking for, right? By the way, how do you know it's wrong? Of course, if you are asking for somebody's wife, it's wrong. You should not be doing that. Or if you are asking for somebody's car, it's wrong. You can't be asking that. But to be honest with you, many of us don't ask for things like that. What we ask for is genuine, and it's our concern. Are you hearing me? For instance, when the rain started falling around 4 o'clock, thereabouts, I said, Lord, we have service. This rain should not disturb us now. It's been raining yesterday, rain this morning, it was really loud. So the rain took a break, and I was thinking, okay, right, let's come for service. And we came here. And it started raining again now. Just some Professor Daddy coming in now, sitting in the rain. And like I said, if I was not a pastor, I'll sit down with my... You see, we have alternative now in the name of Jesus. We can watch online. So don't despair. He may not answer quickly. Let me give you some more. David, after he killed Goliath, Saul started going after him. Can I surprise you? Listen to this. This is very important. Sometimes when you ask in the name of Jesus for something, it may not just come instant, For instance, if you look at Paul, sorry, at David, David faced two types of enemy. He faced Goliath, instant. Goliath brought instant fame, instant notoriety, and everybody knew. But then Saul went after him. And the same name of the Lord he had to use to run from pillar to post. Now listen, everybody. Listen, everybody. This will shock you. David wrote the book of Psalm. You will never find Goliath there. Anybody, if you find Goliath in the book of Psalm, surprise. Why? Because instant killing of Goliath does not add to David. Does not add to him. Many of us, that's what we think. When you have 30 million viewers for one video, it doesn't add to you. I know 30 million viewers. No, it just exposed to you. It just exposed to you. Now, it's what you now grab with yourself that will keep you going. So, you can now see, let me show you another verse, chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 3. I hope I'm correct. Is it 2 Samuel now? Let's go see it. Now, okay, come and see. Verse 3, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. Can you look up? Now, there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. There was an instant war between Goliath and David, right? Right? It was bam, bam on the floor. But in the case of Saul, it took a while. But David, now this is what I want to see. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Ask in the name of the Lord. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. But it was not spoken about this concerning David and Goliath. It was not David growing stronger. It was God's power that knocked him out instantly. He just is swing, bam, and he fell. It didn't hurt to David. But when David now engaged in this long struggle of war in the name of the Lord, David could have surrendered, if not the name of the Lord, to Saul. It was the name that kept him going. His conscience was growing. His strength was growing. He started growing an army. David was the only king in the Bible that became king without a throne. It's amazing. And he started running all over the place. But the Bible said it was growing stronger and stronger. So when you ask for something in the name of the Lord, if it's not instant, it's building your strength. I want to make some sense. See, some things have to be clarified. Oh, Pastor, I've been trusting God for something. And he said, no, build your strength through it. I don't want to build any strength. Don't be a lazy bone. Don't be a lazy bone. Look, when I look back to my life today, some things that didn't yield quickly, they are much more of benefit for me. Some exams I didn't pass quickly made me read more, understand the subject more. Pastor, I didn't read more. That's you, but it helped me. So what I'm saying today is that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. In his journey of keeping you, he's strengthening you, just like this. But what actually made David to be a very good king was this kind of long war. The instant killing Goliath, the Lord did it. And this long war, the Lord did it. The same the Lord. The name of the Lord. So he faced Goliath, the name of the Lord, instant, and he faced Saul, the name of the Lord, gradual, but building his strength. And like I said again, when you open the book of Psalm, from the beginning to the end, you won't find Goliath there. But you see issue of Saul, popping, moving, God help me, God strengthen me, this is my enemy. You know, you can see that. People today take that as their enemy. They have not seen any enemy at all. They're just screaming in church. If they face things like David faced, does it make some sense? Have I tried and get that across to us? So things will happen to us when we use the name of Jesus, that instant victory will take place. And sometimes it's gradual victory to build our stamina, to build our strength. And Pastor, why do I have to build my stamina and build my strength? Because the things you are going to face in life, they will require you to be strong. Am I making some sense? This is a picture somebody gave me that stayed with me all these years. He said, if you look at an egg, when the chick is developing in that egg, in that cell, it starts getting to grow. A time comes that is not enough anymore for it. So what does it start doing? It starts struggling and banging that thing. Gradually, you see it cracking. It doesn't do instantly like that. Then it crack. And one day, you see the thing just do like that. And then the chick will step out. And you see it standing. Now, some group of scientists sat down and asked themselves, please listen to this, and asked themselves, let's help the chick break the shell. It doesn't have to go through all that trouble. Let's remove it. Guess what happened? They helped the chick crack the eggshell. The chick stepped out, it couldn't stand. It just fell. And they found out the strength to stand outside the eggshell in the world of outside the shell, the strength to stand came from the chick kicking that thing. So you can see the boxer too. Boxers kick something every day, not the opponents. They kick that back. They kick. They build strength from there to face the real opponent of life. You will not believe this, but that's truth. Success is more dangerous than failure. It's the most dangerous. You know, if your business doesn't succeed, that's understanding. People are not coming. But when you don't have people coming, you have things to do more. And they will tax your energy, tax your patience. And if you don't have all that through the struggles of building it, you won't be able to sustain it. Does that make some sense? And Pastor, it makes sense, but I don't like it. I mean, you don't like it, but that's the way your life is built. So, I want you to start saying the name of the Lord as a strong tower, strengthening and helping you. Now, let me add one more to it. Listen to this, everybody. I don't know why I'm going this way today. Now, sometimes, even when you are asking in the name of the Lord Jesus for something, it may not come quickly because it involves more than you. It involves more than you. Okay, I'm asking the Lord for a bank. I'm praying to become a bank worker. Father, in the name of Jesus, I need to work in the bank. But the bank must have an opening. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. The bank must have an opening before the bank will call me. Jesus won't just go to the MD and tell him, make an opening now, and then give him a job. Fine. You are praying for food. But somebody has to cook the food. And how many of you, when you were very small, you didn't have desire to wait for anything? I give an example. When I was very small, mom, we want to eat the food. It's been people. No. So we go to daddy. And you know, daddy usually just come and say, Joko Mugari now. Everything palataro. And we say, oh, no, Joko Mugari. Then I'll drink the gari, finish, the food is ready, my belly is already full, I can't take the food. Have you been there? You know, you stuff yourself with the inferior average. You look at the food like this, man, like this. So that happens to all of us. Sometimes things don't work out quickly because of that developing our stamina. And second, because people are involved. Do you know that David had a chance of killing Saul? But he said, I won't do that. He said, God will deal with him. And that delayed David. Not just because David was not working with God, but because God was taking his time. Another one. God told Abraham, I'm giving you a land. But those who are living there, they are very bad. That's why I'm giving the land to you. But I have to wait for 400 years. What a patient God. He said, until their sins are finished and I can now deal with them, justly, I will move you in. So he moved them to Egypt to go and stay for 400 years because it's a just God to clarify. Because if he goes to go and deal with them, that'd be premature.
Pastor, I mean, I can't.
No, you're not the only one on this planet. Does that make some sense today? Does that make some sense? Great. mature, like I was saying in the first service, the more mature you are, the more compassionate you get. Because you can see from the vantage point of God that life is not all about you. Am I making some sense? Let me use medical example. Dr. Oliver will have to say this. See, when they fail you in medical school, it's not because they hate you. So that you don't come be killing patients outside here. See, when you do that again and again and again, you get used to it. Then you cannot go. No, we're going to fail you. We're going to fail you. No, no, no. They're after something that will be permanent with you. Same thing that happens in other courses too. Because if you don't have that strength enough to build that, that will not give you the advantage to do what you need to do. So, slow. Huh? But no, Baba, go slow. You know, slow. But no, Baba, go slow. That will stay with forever. Let's go to Romans 5, Message Bible. Let's talk about that from Romans 5. Take a look. Verse 3. Let's read from verse 3. Message Bible. Can you look up, everybody? See, I love this Bible. There's more to come after we have believed in Jesus. We continue to shout our praise even when we are ending with troubles. Just like David and Saul. Because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us. Like one guy prayed, Lord, give me patience right now. It's passionate patience. See, the more I voice my confidence in God and look up to God when things are hedging on me, you will not believe this. Some of the psalms that David wrote, David was in the midst of trouble. In fact, one time he had to play that he was mad and he had to run. That's when he wrote the psalm, I will bless the Lord at all times. Please, David was not a writer. He was not a writer. They were his journals. You know, when you have a writer, you go to a village somewhere, you come down, you take a bottle of water or five alive, you balance, you put prose together, you write it out. David was in the midst of mess. And you say, Lord, get my enemy, kill them. No, you are passionate. God, you are patient. Okay, your mercy endures forever. As a finishing line. You see, let's go look at next verse. Take a look at another. Now, and how that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue. Does that make some sense? This is a grammar, but I love this grammar. It's helping me to grab. You see, patience is forging in me the tempered steel. You know, when you have steel don't break easily. If you take wood, you break it. But steel, it's gone through fire, and then it becomes stronger. Have you ever been in the village, you see blacksmith working? They take that thing, put inside fire. You see burn it red hot and poof, inside water. And then they start banging that and turn it to a cutlass or something. And so when we look at trouble today, it should be keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. See, real, when you start trusting God and using the name of Jesus, and things are coming at you, it will make you to start stretching. Glory to God. Looking for what God will do. You see, your father is not unfaithful. Praise God, somebody. Let me say that one more time. Your father is not unfaithful. Your father is not unfaithful. So you need to join force with him and stop joining force against him and say, God, what's going on? Let's join. Rather, you should be doing like this. For every time things get longer, I know you are there for me and I know this will end, like they will say, in praise. Does that make some sense? Huh? So when I say Christ has left us his name, that name today, we can hold it. Don't forget, that name means Savior. It means Deliverer. Praise God, somebody. Am I making sense? Am I making some sense? All right. Now, we have seen the name. Let's look at what does God give us? What did he give us next to work with our life? We live in the world today. If you are coming, those of us who came at the beginning, we said this world is unsafe. This world is not looking for your interests. Like I said, right now, if you buy fuel for 50,000 naira, it was that fuel you bought 50K was 10K last year. I think it's five times now. You used to have it around 180 something, about right? 189 when it came in, right? And then now it's 1,000 plus. That's times at least times five. At least times five. So when I go, so be careful when you say equal 20,000. No, Igbo 4,000 a year. Did you get that time? And we don't know what they're going to take away from us next. Huh? And everybody's scrambling now. But we can go to the name to help us through this. Is that, are we here? Are we here? Praise God. Let's go to the next one. So how do we keep working? John 14. Let's go back to John 14. I have the Lord who never fails. I have a God. Okay, let's go to John 14. Let's read. We read verse 13 and 14. Now, look at verse 15. If you love me, keep what? My commandments. Now, so we have seen, can we look up everybody? We have seen, I ask in the name of Jesus. I run to the name of Jesus. It keeps me. But this Jesus, what's going on between us? I want to make it some sense. For instance, you have your phone, you put it on, and then you make calls. But something must be going on between you and your phone, credit and charging. Am I right? Does that make some sense? If you don't load with credits, data and SMS and call may not work. Though, it's there for you to do that. And second, even when you have credits and you don't charge it with power, it may not work. I use this kind of picture so you can see what I'm talking about. The phone is able to do a lot of things for you. But there must be a cordial relationship between you and the phone. You must be obeying the rule of the game with phoning. If you have a phone, no matter how expensive, no matter how powerful it is, if it's not credited and it's not charged, it won't work. And if you notice yourself, this happens to you all the time, you check your power level, right? Like I used to say, you cannot make 30 minutes video WhatsApp call having 5% power. It just won't work. So Jesus is saying something over here that I'm going to give you two things more. I want you to love me by keeping my commandments. I want you to stop thinking that your whole life is just needs and supply. Yes, your phone is call, WhatsApp, check online, go to YouTube and go. But your phone is more than that. Your phone is a piece of equipment on its own that has its own rules and its own game that you have to work with. So when we say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we do that, even if the Lord answers us in his name, it doesn't mean we are getting along with him. It doesn't mean we are relating with him. Matthew 7. Let's go. Let's prove that. Matthew 7. Somebody can be having 10% and still make calls to and just bepe, you know, 5% or your credit is almost at the end. You call the guy, oh, quickly, down. Bada. You know, you have that kind of minimal relationship. You're still making stuff, but it's not working quite well. Matthew 7. Let's look at the verse that I want to. This is verse 23, verse 24. Let me open it there quickly. Just a minute. Yeah, beautiful. Let's go to verse 22. Good. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Now, I want you to look at something. It's Christian. Who's there? It's Christian. Okay, do something. Where you find in your name, make it capital. Take a look. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have you not prophesied in your name? And they did. Cast out demons in your name? They did. And done many wonders in your name? They did. The mistake we make is this. Just because your phone is making call doesn't mean that it has enough credit and has charging power enough. It's just obeying the law of phoning. For instance, somebody can come on. This is where we miss it too. Somebody says, in the name of Jesus, something happened. We think that the person is a strong person in the Lord. The Lord is just confirming his name. Are you hearing me? See, he said, in your name, we prophesy. In your name, we cast out demons. In your name, we do wonders. That can fool us. That we are okay. That we are great. But it's not you. It's the name. Next verse. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. See, that word knew is the same word for Adam knew Eve, his wife. There was a kind of a intimacy between them that kept them going, that to give birth to a child. But you see, you can, beautiful. Judas used the, Judas did miracles. I hope you know that. Judas did this miracle. He followed Jesus around, cast out demons. But he said, you who practice lawlessness, like now, your phone is making calls, but you're not charging it, you're not putting credit there. Once in a while, your phone will just pass out. Now, anybody will say, oh, you're carrying a big phone, but you are tormenting that phone. You're making life difficult for that phone. Your battery may not last because it's always on the edge. Does that make some sense? So, Jesus is saying, besides knowing my name and having my name, let's have a relationship. And that relationship is this. I am perfect, you are not. So the commanding factor will not be you. Does that make some sense? For instance, you don't tell your phone what charge level is to charge. The phone tells you I'm 60% now. You cannot say, I removed the 60% is like somebody was traveling. He found out it's further down his level. So he took paper and covered it. Does that change the fuel level? Doesn't change the fuel level just because you don't see it. Okay, so Jesus is saying, let's go back to John 14, verse 15. If you love me, John 14, 15. If you love me, do what? Keep my commandment. Do what necessary between us. And Jesus put it on the level of love. Because love is the strongest, most powerful force of motivation. Fear is not. I can scare you, but it won't last. But when you do something out of love, you see, if I say snake now, the reason why you run is because you love your life. If you don't love your life, like somebody recently I was told, it's amazing. I was telling my wife, who's what's telling? The man tired of life. He just took his two sons, went to Tom Mayland Bridge, wrote a note, I'm going to kill myself. Government, take care of my two children. And he got to the bridge, wanted to leap off into the water. Because he had come to a point where his life didn't have any value in his eyes anymore. But thank God somebody was there. When they saw him trying to move out, putting paper in his children's hand, the man just came out of his car and took him out of wasting his life. That your life is bigger than the bread and the food. Yeah, of course you need all that for life, but your life is bigger than that. Jesus said, is your life not more than food and more than clothes? I know you are thinking that, Pastor, you don't understand. When I'm hungry, when I'm not well clothed, when things are difficult, I can't even pay my bills. But that person that is paying the bill is more than the bills. Hallelujah. So love is important here. It's the greatest factor of motivation. So he said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commands. What's the meaning of that? Let's go to John 14 again, verse 20. At that day, you know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. This is talking about intimacy here. A lot of people think like this. This is where you see our lives. That's why sometimes as a pastor, it bothers me. Please, are we here? We see our life lived this way. And when we get into trouble, God, please come. Can you see? I'm here living my life. So I'm into trouble. So what do? I go to God. God, please come. Do something about this. And when he does, I give him thanksgiving and I come back to my life here. And I keep on living. Surely, another trouble will occur again. So we call church Solution Center. You understand now? You know, anytime you run into trouble, you go over there, collect what you need to collect, and go back. Like one woman, say, Baba Dari. Anybody knows this? Oh, yes. Remember? He did a crusade in Ibadan, and they invited people to come to attend. So this woman was healed in the crusade. And they went to check her tomb, follow up. She said, Emekilewasi. I said, we came to visit. Hey, discharge me. Timbal hospital. Timbati, well, what discharge me? Am I willing? What am I saying? Even hospital give you paper to come back. Am I right? To come back and do some check-up. Am I right? So, you know, that's where we live our life. We live like this. We are outside God. This is what pains me most sometimes about church. We're just looking for God to decorate our life. And then we go back living our life. So really, God's like a spare tire. It's not part of the movement of the car. It's outside somewhere hanging. So when we need spare tire, we pull it out and put it there. And then when we throw with it, jack it back there, living our life. Jesus said, look here, in that day, it won't be like that. You won't be an outsider, come and get up and run back. No, you'll be part of the process. You won't only come and eat and run off. You're going to be part of the cooking, the kitchen, the buying of the food stuff. And, am I making some sense today? Hello? That you won't just be an outsider, a stranger. You're part of the family. You know what's going on. You're part of the cleaning, cooking, maintenance in the house. That day, you will know that I'm in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. We're all together. We're not just using this thing to just get some Sunday morning, go to church, pray, fast, and then when you're through, you go do what you like. This is majorly Nigerian Christianity. God is not to be thought about and taken seriously until you have some kind of issues. Hallelujah. Somebody says, people come to church 3 times in their life, when they are born, when they marry, and when they die. You know? So, let's start seeing that. It's not just that way. If you ever... Some of you, sorry to say this, forgive me. Some of you, I don't care the phone you have, what you do on your phone, text message, WhatsApp, and what else? A few things. If you really understand your phone, like I do, you know, phone can do so much for you. And you know how much you buy that phone. You better explore it more. Not just phone you. Yeah. One day, oh, sorry, that's not me saying this. So, all these people that have phone, they turn the phone and be talking like this. Have you seen this kind of phone? You know, the phone is like this. And then they turn the back, turn the head like that, and be hearing from the back. I said, Solomon, what's wrong with that? you know, please, I'm not making fun of your phone. You don't know that. I mean, I just wonder, the phone is like this. They do like this at the back, and they do like this. So they do like, hello? They do back like this? You know what I'm going to I said, I don't just fix this phone. That's the way, that's not the way it was made. You know? So what I'm saying is that you should get involved with life. Same thing happened to us in marriage. I find that in recent times, people just get married to fulfill all righteousness, to take out the ball. You know, we are married now. I got your name. Now, I can go out. Nobody will torment me anymore that I'm not married. No, marriage is more than that. Praise God. Same thing happened in church. When we say, my wife will say, join the group, serve the Lord in the group, and Reverend Mrs. will torment you. Which group are you in? So, care group, prayer, what do you do? And then you just join, and nothing's happening. You just sit down there like passive citizen. And what you want group? What if I marry? What you want group? It's not just being in the group now. So Jesus is saying, we're going to be together. We want to run life together. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Don't just stand down there and run your life by yourself. And when you run to trouble, you come to me. But if we can do this life together, it will go a far better way. Let me tell you this one. Let me tell you. A lot of our pains, our struggle, is either two things. We ourselves are not intimate with the Lord, or those who are in our lives are not intimate with the Lord. And when you are not that intimate with the Lord, you will be able to be, you will not be able to do the things that will make your life run smoother. Am I making some sense? So he's saying, I want to be in you. And how can we make this happen? Look at next verse 21. It says, and He who has my commandment, number one, and keeps them. It is he who loves me, intimacy inside each other. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and do what? And manifest myself to him. Don't just use my name as a privilege. Become familiar with me. And the way you become familiar with me is understanding my commandments, my instructions, how to direct you, my word, my expression. When you start having that, my commandment first. That's why the average Christian does not treasure the Bible, because it's not necessary. I could just call and he will answer me. But nobody will have children just to call on you. No, they grew up in your house, right? They work with you, right? You grew up together, right? So to average Christian, he said, he who has my commandment. The next question I hear, I don't have time to read my Bible. That just shows the level of your love for Jesus. When I was courting my wife, that time there was no phone. There was only one phone in the hospital where she was working. They know me, I call Love in Tokyo. You know, but I can't do much with the phone because it's the phone. I wish we had that. I wish we had phone like we do now. I would have, let's stop there. I have to write up poems that I almost every day. Now, see, when she writes me a letter, I go to the room. My friends, we say, what's that? None of your business. I put it in my pocket. I used to write letters very well. Phone don't spoil all of us typing. Now write letters. Let's see, write letter to me. I go to the room and I balance. They never taught me how to meditate then. I meditated one letter. I will read back what I put over there. I read it again. Where she told me that I love you and for you, my God. Underline, squeeze, turn around, keep it in the pocket. I have a letter, she still kept it today. I wrote 1989, right? Thereabout. 1988. About our lives, this we do with our lives. She got the letter. You know, now we know that it can be destroyed. So we took the picture so we can keep it on our phone. you know, because love expresses themselves. And she, those, when she say, "Dear, can you get me something?" That time, I will jump. Now, I walk now. Say, "Dear, can I get that?" I jump. We get anything you want. But the reason we just slow down, you understand, I still love you. Forget that. So that Jesus wanted, you have my commandment. Somebody said, what is his commandment? It's spoken here. I don't know who was talking to me yesterday and was quoting about David. When we say commandment, it doesn't mean, do this for me, do that for me. No. When you are very intimate, words become more important to you. Let me give an example. David had these mighty men. They were mighty. They were fighting. And they were fighting across Bethlehem, where David grew up. And it was under enemy's territory that time. And David just said, out of nowhere, I'm thirsty. Like an American for hamburger. So these pastors will come to Nigeria. And America, they say, I just want hamburger. Hamburger is never harder. But that's our body. We want. You know, thanks that. So David said, I just wish I can drink water from that well in Bethlehem. Listen to this. Those three men, you know what they did? They took their weapons, fought through, broke the enemy's rank. And three of them fetched the water from that well and brought it to David. David said, what's this? They were not fighting. They just broke through. David said, I can't drink this water. He just poured it out before. I said, Lord, this is human blood. I can't drink it. Now, those guys, they were not commanded by David. He just spoke his desire. He just spoke his wish. The Lord is asking you, start reading your Bible like that. It's not just calculating Jerusalem 10 miles from all this Bible school thing. Just. No. He wants you to fall in love with what you are reading. People have a lot of problems. But I don't know how problem they have. I think like this. Anything I'm struggling with, Jesus has spoken something about it. I don't think like this. Who can solve my problem? Oh, I don't think like that. I think something Jesus said will set this up and make this better. And I will search for a long time to come. When my prayer is not answered, it's like good news for me. It's time to search more. He said, ask the giving. If you don't get sick, you will find. If you don't get fine, knock the door. See that? But you just stop and say, my prayer is not answered. My prayer. But have you ever explored asking, seeking, and knocking? Are we still here? So instead of sitting them all by yourself, trying to make yourself glad by solving your problem through the Lord, stop using the law, start living with the Lord. Am I making some sense? You know what? Let me assure you, when you start doing that with his word, he will start manifesting himself in your life. Have you ever noticed that when you really get conversant with your phone, certain level, you start predicting what you do? Am I right? In fact, it will write name that's not in English for you. It's called AI. A little bit kind of a thing like that. It can be so beautiful. When you get used to your phone and your phone gets used to you, the Lord is saying, I want to ask you before you do that. And you don't have to ask me before I do that for you. Am I making some sense? And that can only take place by trading, working with his word, reading his word, and allowing it to percolate into our consciousness. Personally, not just in church. So if you look at next verse, he's saying it again another way. That Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the whole world? People are expecting Christ to come down, do something for the country. It's not concerned about the country. You are bigger than the country. The country will not last forever, but you will last forever. Are you hearing me, somebody here? Your workplace won't last forever, but you will last forever. So he wants about you more than anything else. Your marriage is important, but it's not the end of life. Your job is important, but it's not the end of your life. He has more interest in your life. Hallelujah. So he said, look at what he says to him next verse. He says, yes, I said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now he's calling his commandment his word. And my Father will love him. Wait. I thought he said, for God so loved the world. That God loving the world. But now it's personal. The Father himself loving you. You know, I can love you as a group. But I can love you as an individual. I'm not loving you anymore as just God. I'm loving you as a father. My Father will love you. And look at it. We. Hey. If you start living with we can swing into the realm of omnipotence. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. For instance, I was talking on Sunday. There are some chargers that will do 100% in 30 minutes. Have you seen those chargers? They call super chargers, 65 watts. Boom. I used to be scared of them. Let's see one picture, John chapter 6, about you and the Lord. We'll come back to this, John chapter 6. All right. As if time slowed down. Okay, interesting. I thought around 7 or something. No. John chapter 6. Come and see this. It's a picture of what I'm talking about. Jesus, look at verse 15. Now, when evening came, John 6, now 16. Now, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. I want you to watch this. Got into the boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark. And Jesus had not come to them. Look at next verse. The sea arose because a great wind was blowing. It's just dark. Jesus was not there. And they were on the sea, disciples of Jesus. And the sea was just blowing. Look at next verse. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, that 3 or 4 miles took them about 4 or 5 hours. Can you imagine going for 4 miles from here to Itoku or something or Lafenwa from around 10 to 2 o'clock? That's like Lagos traffic. They saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. You see, they were in the boat. Jesus was over there, and they saw him walking, and they got scared. Look at next verse. And he said to them, "It's I. Don't be afraid." Next verse. Then, they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going.
What?
What? I mean, you struggle for 3 or 4 miles, and when Jesus joined and you join the company, whoop, you are there where you are going. I mean, that's amazing. That's what I'm talking about. You see, Jesus was outside, they were afraid. But when they joined together and became a company, he manifested himself. They just saw that, oh boy, where are we? We are at the end of the journey. I've been struggling to get things. This is what I want you to see. And stop struggling in your mind. How can I do that? What's Jesus come? Is Jesus there? No, stop thinking like that. Stop. Get quiet in your mind. You know, I'm sorry to talk like this, but forgive me. Many of us, we have developed ways for our life that if God doesn't come, I will do this. So anytime something happens, we are ready to go by our road. And the Lord can be very harsh in this area. He starts blocking all those roads and bumping out the thing. And then he bump out this, bump that one out. You think the Lord hates you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Tell yourself, I'll get to where I'm going as long as I keep company with Jesus. Praise the Lord. In fact, let's close our eyes. Can we just appreciate him? Say, Lord, I welcome you willingly into every area of my life. Lord, you know this area. You know this difficulty. You know this thing. You know what has been bugging my mind. But I just welcome you willingly into my boat. Thank you for this speed. Thank you for the journey. Thank you. I'm no longer afraid and worried and anxious about my future, about what's going to happen, about this. I just know that I'm in your hand. And you are able, you are strong enough, and I just love you. By taking your word, I receive your word afresh. You're not a liar. You're not unfaithful. Jesus and the Father, thank you for being in my life. Thank you that you are not leaving me alone on this planet. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go back to John and round up. John chapter 14, verse 21. So, 23. If anyone loves me, what will he do? He will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him. And do what? Make our home with him. Wow. That means the Lord will be present at our dining table. The Lord will be present in our bedroom. The Lord will be present in our going out and our coming in. It doesn't mean we have all the money, but we have him. Praise God, somebody. Does that make some sense? Now, that does not mean life will not do its up and down. But that simply means as a stabilizer with us. And that's where I'm going to stop. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My stability I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Let it be afraid. Let me... I don't know if you watch Edo election. There's only one thing I want to remind you. Power is transient. I think something happened in the night and the governor went to the center, INEC center. And I saw them walking him out with the policemen out of the building to go back home. They walked him out. I watched it. They said something was wrong somewhere by the election. The governor was calling the state electoral officer, the rec or something, and man was not picking his phone call. And then he said, let me go there. And he went there around 2 a.m. and that kind of thing. They sent police with the DIG to walk him out of the place. Power is transient, but his peace is not transient. Praise God. Praise God. That's why I never desire to be a governor. Never desire all these things. Never desire to be close to any of them. It's transient. It's 8 years. When Amoson was doing his gra. Put that one down. I said to my wife, this guy is like a bulldozer. Just wait him out for 8 years. So just dodge all his parts. He came to our building, pull it down. I couldn't do anything. He gave us 24 hours to move out. I called my friend. They couldn't do anything. Later, he came there. Precious was there with my wife. They were there. I didn't want to come down to see him. I was upstairs. My wife said, the governor is around. I said, uh-huh. But I said, that's very insulting. He said, our governor, let me go. So I went down. I saw all these big, their bellies big like this. They surrounded him. They're all fools. Sorry, using that word. The governor is fooled by them. They think they are really actually looking at him. They're just waiting that when he leaves, somebody else will be serving. Do you know, I came down to see him after cutting the building. He said, Reverend, sorry, I caught the building, my father's house. I said, you are the governor, you can do anything. They said, they pay us compensation. Till today, we have not gotten any money from them. If I've been waiting for that money, well, I've you heard that before? Now, today, he had to come through the back to enter the state. You listen to me? See, sometimes when we are looking for things to grab in the human life, it seems to fail us. Seems to fail us. Another example. Today, I'm getting political. I hope I won't get to trouble. You see where that conference hotel is? It's a special land. Trading from the hand of governors to governor. When Osoba was there, his wife took the land to build school. OGD came to power, revoked the CFO. And then, he took the place. It was not developed. Towards the end, he signed it as his own. He's going to build a hotel there. Click, 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 they put something up. After he finished 8 years, Amoso came and put Godogodo there. He never opened again. For 8 years, it was never open. So, OGD joined the new governor. They opened the place. They are fighting back now. You know, I don't want to be caught in that web. I want to have the peace of God. Are you hearing me? Now, I'm not saying that those who are working with them, they're not. Let me, another one I'm telling you, about peace of God, not like the world. I read this, it was shocking for me. Moment Jonathan lost the election, I was told, I read it up. You know, he was the president. They said, when they announced that he lost, guess what happened? He flew in to Abuja. Nobody was at the airport waiting for him. It was deserted. It's no longer the winner. You will always ever be the winner with Jesus. For you are more than conquerors through him that loved you. Are you feeling? I know what you are thinking, Pastor. Etiri Olarini. Olarini transcends. Are you hearing me? I was telling, my time is up. I was telling them, when Clinton came to Nigeria, he stayed in a particular place in Abuja. After he left, my friend called me and said, Reverend, come down with your wife to Abuja. I put you in that same place where Clinton stayed. That's gorgeous. My wife and I went to Abuja. So they put us in that. It was gorgeous. You'll be looking at Aso Rock like this. Once in a while, the machine of the door locked me out. You know what I did before we left? I went to the window. I screamed, vanity upon vanity! You know? Praise the Lord. But I've been with the Lord all these years. His peace is amazing. His stability is unending. So, yeah, you can be given power. You can become the cousin of the governor like I was before. But whatever, don't rely on it. Don't rely on it. Rely on the one who has promised to give you his peace. Not that the word give. So let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Even if the fuel, whatever happens, will take care of us. Let's read Psalm 46. Praise God. We just read it. Hallelujah. So we have seen his word and his name today. From verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Let's keep reading. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth politically, economically be removed. And though the mountains be carried to the midst of the sea. Let's keep reading. Though its waters roar and be troubled, the press and the multitudes. Though the mountains shake with its swelling. All these institutions like CBN, FBI, all of them, EFCC. There is a river whose streams are making glad the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. That's, he will make his home with you. God is in the midst of her. Put your name there. God is in the midst. Can you put your name there? God is in the midst of Tony Amoson. Ladies, she shall not be moved. God shall help her. This is on the lady's side more than the men. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged politically, economically, socially, whatever. And the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. Let's keep reading. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the words of the Lord who has made solutions in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spears in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Let's read together, everybody. Be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. Can we lift our hands and thank him that he's with us? He's our refuge and our very present. We can look with defiance at the future. We can look ahead of life that someone is with us who made the heaven and the earth, who made the time itself and made the space. Yes, we may not know everything now. How things will turn up. What will happen to you when everybody has gone? But we know that he's with us. And he who has taken care of us will keep on taking care of us. And his holy name, in his name, we find a refuge. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are saved. Can you verbalize with your mouth and say, God is with me. And God is making everything work out for my good. God is with me. God is working for my good. God is goodness. I will see it. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And forever I will dwell in his tabernacle. I will live with him. So tell yourself, I choose to live with him. I'm no longer visiting his place. I'm no longer going to visit. I settle down. I become a citizen. I become a dweller. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the mountain, in the valley. Stakemi, you are ready? On the land and in the sea. On the mountain, in the valley. On the land and in the sea. Hallelujah. The Lord is my portion in the land of the living. The Lord, please come. Forevermore.